Welcome to another episode of Fresh Off the Set. I'm Brooke Mangum.
And I'm Carrie Hawker-Diaz. Okay, Brookie, our lives are crazy. We're moms, right? And you parents out there, you know what we mean. Even if you don't have kids.
Life is hard.
It's crazy. You're rushing to work and to, you know, things that you've committed to. Do you do anything? And give us the tips on things that like help you relax.
I'm a big meditator. I think I've been meditating for, I think like 8 years pretty consistently. And I have to, I've got pretty good anxiety. And then my like monkey mind goes all over the place. So I try to start my day with a meditation or end it. And sometimes, you know, with kids, like sometimes they're in your bed, you can't do the meditation you want. But I do at least like 5 minutes of meditating. And it can be anything from breathing. It can be visualization. I like to kind of spice it up because I get like a little bit bored with things.
Sure.
But if I can always tell when I'm not meditating enough is I just get all over the place and I actually get a little bit depressed too.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of brings you down.
And I love like, would you do like mantras or anything like that? Like sayings, like what do you do, Kara?
We do. So in our house, we've taught Amelia from a very young age to do affirmations.
Oh, that's
great. And we say them if we can, you know, sometimes she's not in the mood on the way to school, but like saying one of these out loud can really help her. So it's just like, I am kind. I am strong. I am. And we really try to focus on like her personality and sometimes we'll do like, I am beautiful because you want to feel that too. But we focus a lot on like inside, you know, and I've seen a big difference in her day if we start out with that. So I kind of do that in my mind in the morning, but I started doing yoga.
Oh yeah.
In the morning.
That's a moving meditation for sure.
And that has changed. It's not every morning. I would say like four probably times out of the week. It has changed the game for me to start in the mornings with a calm centering. Mm-hmm.
I just thought of one thing that I've been doing for a long time too, and it's so fun and ridiculous. I give myself a high five every single morning in the mirror.
Oh my gosh, Mel Robbins
talks about that. It's a Mel Robbins thing because your brain has already been programmed that high fives mean good job, right? Like in sports all the time. Like even if you don't know somebody and you just like did something awesome, somebody goes, hey, high five.
See how it feels.
High five.
Feels good.
And it feels good. It gives you this instant bit of like serotonin. Like it, you just have that feel good chemicals just launch in your body. So I've started high-fiving myself in the mirror and I dare you to not laugh or smile because either you're like, oh, I feel awesome. Yes, I'm going to go get this. Or you're like, I'm an idiot high-fiving myself in the mirror and you have handprints all over. I have handprints all over my mirror all the time.
It makes you feel so good.
It totally works. And it's something so easy that you can do. You got a hand, you got a mirror, you got this.
And 2 seconds, you know, that's all it takes. I spoke with Abby Daw. She's a mindfulness and breathing expert. She has some amazing ways to help with your anxiety, stress, your frustrations, just being a human being in general, you know, everything that we've like the trauma that we've taken with us from childhood. She has some really great ideas to help us out.
Well, let's take a listen.
Let's do it. I am really, really excited to sit down with our guest on the podcast today, Abby Daw. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
We're happy to have you. Okay, you've been on the show multiple times, but it's fun to be able to have you on the podcast because we get to spend a little extra time with you today. Okay, let's talk about, because you're all about healing and you just have this like warm, like glow about you. You're so easy to be around. What inspired you to start your own journey of healing?
I feel like I've been always seeking something deeper in life. I started young just feeling very deeply, and I didn't really understand what that was. I just came to this world feeling very deeply. And then I got really involved in yoga because that seemed to be the place where I felt safe on my yoga mat, and I didn't understand why. And I just, throughout my yoga journey, I, you know, was taken under the wings of mentors, and then I became a teacher myself. I did start off teaching just aerobics for many years, but just was ultimately drawn to yoga. And then over the years, I had those tools, breathing consciously and all those things. And then when I, right before the pandemic, I was going through a divorce that was really hard on me. And I didn't really know it until after. But I was battling very severe postpartum anxiety at the same time. Then the pandemic came. So I had all of these things I had to deal with at one time. And I lost my corporate job because where I worked during the pandemic, the sales went way down because we were selling luxury items that people weren't looking for anymore at that time. So with the loss of a job, a loss of a marriage, and having postpartum, something that I was carrying every single day, I literally was at the darkest time of my life. And I remember standing in my kitchen after I lost my job, not knowing what I was going to do. And I had this voice kind of just come to me as I was making my coffee. This is not like, this is for you. Go and get it. Cause I've always been an entrepreneur and I've failed a lot of businesses actually. And I was really confused cause it felt like it was an intercom just saying, this is for you. And I was led to a woman named Gabby Bernstein. Some of you might know who that is.
She's wonderful. Yeah.
And I started taking her courses and I just, with my yoga background, all of the things I've been teaching for 23 years, I never really understood how important breathing was. And I started to take some of her advice on breathing. And I just did this one breath every day. And, you know, 30 days eventually turned into 180 days. And I noticed a significant change in my life. And I developed, because of my background in healing, I developed a course based on breathing. And that's kind of how it all started for me.
Would you say, speaking of breathing, that was one of the tools that helped you the most in your healing journey?
Absolutely.
It's crazy how we don't realize. I did one breathing class a few months ago. It is life-changing, but it's crazy how we don't realize our own breath and how much it affects us.
Since then, because I am now a certified breath coach, I've learned how important breath not only is for just mental wellness, but also for the longevity of our lives. People don't understand how important breathing correctly can control a lot of things.
We're going to get into that a little bit later, actually, talking about Soma breath. Okay, you've turned your experience, and thank you for sharing that, by the way, into helping other people, which you are really good at. How do you help people rediscover what you call their magic within?
So ever since I was a kid, I've just been drawn to everything sort of fantasy. My first obsession was the Chronicles of Narnia. And I always believed that there was something that we weren't understanding as a human. Like as humans, we weren't getting something. It was like, we're here to wake up, pay the bills, die. It's like, no, there's more to life than that. And so I guess I just came with this feeling inside, call it being a clairvoyant, I don't know, but I've always felt like there's like this invisible realm of magic that we can tap into. You can call it potential. So my whole thing now, ever since this sounds so cliche and maybe a little bit nerdy, but I loved Harry Potter. And so I was like, I want to do what J.K. Rowling did, but in a different form, in a different way. And I just committed to helping people believe that they can tap into something that maybe they didn't think was possible. And they do. I help people do that. And their minds get blown at what is possible because I do believe in that.
Yeah, we start to live inside our head and the stories that we tell ourselves. What do you see that people are struggling the most with?
First of all, it's showing up as anxiety. I think we're in this world of, it's just anxiety. There's a lot going on, overstimulation, everything. It seems to be like bad news at every corner. But I think underneath the anxiety is just this lack of connection to self, and we're looking for it outside of ourselves. So we're looking for it in external validation, in social media scrolling, we're not feeling ourselves anymore. So we're trying to find it in other ways. That's what I think is happening. We're disconnected from who we truly are.
Yeah, a combination of social media, pandemic, we're really
sugar
distance us.
Everything that you can, that takes us from ourselves. Screen time in general is just, a buzzkill.
You spoke a little bit about magic. How would you define that magic you see within people and their potential?
How would I describe that magic? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you can't see it, but I have always just been able to look at somebody I don't know and know their story. So that's just a gift I came with. I can call their bull really easily. So their excuse, I can just see that there's something else underneath what they're saying is going on. And then I can help them tap into that potential or invisible force, call it what you may, soul. Some people call it God. Some people call it higher wisdom, intuition. So That's what I think it is. It's just that soul part of you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you help people tap into that? What kind of tools do you use?
I use my guided meditations that I feel like I'm really good at guiding people to move underneath it, and my breath work techniques and just other healing modalities like Reiki. I use and just my intuition. So I've always been able to heal with just my hands too. I'm really good at, finding the energy in people's body and just guiding them there and, mm-hmm. and using my energy through my hands to help them heal.
That's true. That's the ultimate goal is the healing. You listed meditation. Mm-hmm. If we've heard of it, we've heard the word, what is meditation and what does that process look like?
Meditation, there are 9 really popular forms of meditation, but what does that look like? It can look like many things. I mean, most, beautiful way to find a meditation practice if you've never done it is simply just placing your hands on your heart and closing your eyes. It's just taking yourself out of that, just being overstimulated from the world and connecting to your heart. I call it a heart hold. Mm-hmm. So you can just place your hands on your heart, close your eyes.
Yeah, let's take do a little right breath. Now. If you're driving, don't close your eyes. But if you're at home, yeah. Okay, we're going to do this.
You can just place your hands on your heart. If you're just sitting at your desk at work or laying in bed in the morning or whatever it may be. And you just hold your heart. And when we find awareness with our heart, it brings connection to the body. And you just take a breath in through your nose and let it go. And that is meditating. That is stepping out of just your overthinking mind spiral.
It's interesting, Abby. When I did that, the world almost stopped spinning. Like the room became quiet. You don't often touch your own heart. So it mm-mm. makes you stop. It makes you listen to your own breath. How often do you suggest we do meditation?
Oh boy, I would recommend it if somebody could stop for a minute even every day and connect.
Morning, night, or maybe what's good for you?
Well, we have to, if we want to call in better things in our life, we have to heal. There's many ways we can heal. One of them that is very popular is talk therapy, but I believe there has to be more than that. And so we have to process the body. So if we want to actually change our life and start to feel like we're not just, quiet for a moment and then just plummeting right back down again to that baseline, mm-hmm. I would suggest doing it regularly for 6 months straight, a couple times a day, a couple minutes a day. You don't have to, make it another thing that's like causing stress in your life, but it's just bringing more awareness to what's going on and just taking this time. Like, that's why I love the Apple Watch, because it will just tell you to breathe suddenly.
It's funny. We need those reminders,
but it's but like, if we could remind ourselves, like, if you just get to know yourself, I know that in the morning I kind of wake up with that gloom and doom sometimes in my belly because I have anxiety. And so I know that when I get out of bed, I need to do a 3-page writing brain dump. I just need to write all my thoughts out and then I'm fine. Like I feel like my brain is clear. And then I know by like 1 or 2 in the afternoon, I feel that anxiety trickle back in again. It's mm-hmm. it's just every few hours, just sort of check in with yourself. And I know it sounds overwhelming, but you kind of just learn, as you know who you are, you learn when you need it. But I would say an everyday practice.
For meditation. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I think we can all make the time. You mentioned breathing too. Is breathing in combo with meditation, or is that something totally different? And what does breathing look like, breathing exercises?
So anything can be a meditation. So you could be painting a picture and that could be meditation for you. You could be walking and just having this time to yourself without listening to music. That's a meditation. So there's different forms of meditation, and breathing is another way you can meditate. So breathing for me is a way to think of us as all magnets, and we're all kind of walking around we're at a level of just magnetism. And it's basically how our body feels. So if you wake up every day and you're like, okay, it's going to be the same day. I'm going to go the same way to work. The same coworker is going to bug me. It's like the same like vibration. I know mm-hmm. that word might feel a little like tricky for some people to take in, but we are at a level of magnetism. And so what breath does is it takes your plane off so that you start to ascend up with your the way your body's magnetizing things towards you. Because we can get, our brain keeps us stuck in these places of gloom and doom because we get addicted to it. Mm-hmm. It's still adrenaline for us. We just get the wrong, things from it, but that's what we can predict. So we get addicted to struggle and bad energy. And breath helps us move out of that. If it changes the way our body, our cells, our tissues vibrate, or the magnetism of our body by breathing.
Sure. Is there any way we could do a quick, and if you're driving, once again, pay attention to the road. But if you're at home, or, you know, if you can do this, can you do it while driving?
Well, I wouldn't recommend any, no.
Okay. Nope. She's the expert, so she would know. Okay. So if you're at home right now.
If you're driving, I would suggest no.
Okay.
But singing in the car is a really good way to meditate.
Oh, okay.
Because your body releases something called nitric oxide. It's this wellness hormone molecule. And it's like the overall wellness molecule. And actually singing down into your body releases that more than breath. So if you find a song while you're singing in your car and you just sing that, that's really good for your body.
Okay. I've always wondered, because sometimes you'll just be driving, you know, on the freeway and you're singing and it feels so good. There's science behind it. There's facts.
Yep. Or another game you can play of meditation while you're driving is look for evidence of abundance.
Okay.
So a cloud. Mm. Oh, that's abundance. You start to look for the things you really want to see. So those are things you can do in the car. You could do it with your kids too, but a breath to do maybe just while you're even sitting at your desk or anytime, you know.
That's a good way to start, because when we get at work, we kind of just get in the mode of like you said, just the same habits and same things and same vibration. So what can we do at work if we don't have just a few minutes to mix it up?
Don't worry about if someone's judging you if they all of a sudden see you breaking out in some breath.
So Mackenzie, I'm talking to producer, she's in here, so find you in some weird breathing. In the corner, she'll know it's okay.
A simple breath, continuous. I don't know. Some of you may have heard of the expert Wim Hof. I love Wim Hof.
Is he the one that does the ice baths?
Yeah. And okay. You'll be seeing people on social media showing their ice baths now.
But, all over the place. Yeah.
But he came up with a breath. It's called holotropic breathing. And it's just it's a transformational breath. So there's different forms of breathing. Holotropic is transformational because it elevates your body pretty fast. If you guys want to do it along with me, as long as you're not driving, you can. But you'll just sit for a moment and you'll send your exhale out the mouth. Not very vigorous, not super emphasized, just a nice exhale.
Just a release, okay.
Yeah. And then you're going to inhale for 2, 3, 4. Exhale out the mouth. 3, 4. Inhale. 2, 3, 4. Exhale. 2, 3, 4. Inhale. 2, 3, 4. Exhale. 2, 3, 4. And you can keep doing that he suggests that one for 10 rounds, 3 times. But if you don't want to get into a full on breath cycle, if you're at work, simply just doing a box breath, you could place your hand on your belly and your heart.
Is that where you do the 4?
Yeah.
Breathe in for 4.
Hold for 4. Exhale for 4. Hold for 4.
Okay. It's crazy because when we just did that breathing exercise, it took me a second to slow down. Mm-hmm. We breathe so fast without noticing it. And that took me a minute to I got to take a couple breaths, even just 2. So that's.
Yeah. No, if people haven't done a lot of breathing, there's a lot that kind of you have to, you know, get used to in the beginning. And I'm somebody who is a breath expert, so I like to watch people's bodies and see if they're reverse breathing, if they're not breathing correctly. Because if we're breathing just to our chest, that's an incorrect way to breathe. You have to breathe always to the belly first. Always,
to
always.
The belly.
Yes.
So because you think, I picture my rib cage, that's what needs to be moving, but it's more like belly.
Always belly first. That is, if we're not breathing to our belly, it's putting us we're just in a state of fight or freeze.
Oh, that's where you kind of get the...
Mm-hmm. Chest breathing shows me that somebody's in a lot of stress.
Okay, interesting. And so if more belly breathing.
Yeah, and if you watch a baby breathe, the baby will be breathing to their belly. It's as we move through life, we start to lose the balanced breath. And then when we're not breathing correctly, we're breathing shallow, shallow life, deep breath, deeper life. It's just, think of it that way.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Breathing. Okay. You are a neurosomatic life coach.
Yes.
What does that mean for us?
Okay. So we're going to get a little deep here, I guess. So for me, like, talk therapy is great, but I have gone through a lot of trauma in my life. I have had a lot that I've had to deal with. And so I was recognizing that this anxiety is never really going to all the way go away, but I have really good tools to cope with it. And some weeks I don't feel it at all, but neurosomatic life coach. Somatic means through the body, and we have so much in our bodies that we don't even realize is projecting our lives. And so by doing breath work, by doing these random exercises that I will teach, it helps bring things that are stored in your subconscious memory and in your cells, in your tissues, up to surface so that you can release it. Mm-hmm. And so what I do with my clients is I do a combination of neurosomatic techniques, breath and body, to help them understand them and themselves and why they're experiencing what they're experiencing.
Interesting. Because we all have that trauma.
Yeah, like a simple trauma, you guys, would be your mom's rocking you as a baby and the door slams and the baby jumps. That is a small T trauma for a baby at that age.
I would never, ever think that, but that's stored in your body.
It's stored in your body. We have so much stored in our body. And so I'll work with people and I'll do these like simple somatic exercises. I'm working with kids a lot now, believe it or not, but I'll have them point and flex their feet a lot and breathe at the same time. And all of a sudden they'll just start tearing up. And it's because the body just knows what to do. It knows how to let that all just go. And then they're like, they do it after a while and they're like, wow, my pain is gone. I've worked with women who have had just pain, chronic pain, and now they don't have it anymore.
Because it's held in the body.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. So think of processing through our voice with a therapist. Mm-hmm. I help people process through the body and I help them let go. We don't have to stay in the same magnetic place our whole life. So we can elevate, we can call in better things, but you know, people think, oh, well, I'm just going to, like, you know how vision boards are big. I'm just going to put a bunch of photos on a board and hope for the best. But honestly, the way we draw good things to us is healing and getting that energy to leave the body and then feeling better. It's about feeling better.
Which we all can do.
Mm-hmm.
We have, so I help people we have do the that. Tools through yeah. you. As self-help has become more prevalent, have you seen these services become more in demand, and are they more popular than they used to be, would you say?
Absolutely. I am sold out with my coaching. I literally am on a wait list right now. So yes, I think the global pandemic made people just, there was something about it that made people want to go inward and understand themselves more, which I think is amazing. And, you know, we need it all. We need the Western approach and just this approach as well. I've helped a lot of people heal from stage 4 cancers. I've helped them do that. I've been a part of their healing journey, and it's been amazing watching somebody go through that and the way they've been able to heal much faster.
Wow, it must be pretty rewarding.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm not saying that it's the only thing. I'm saying it's a part of what you could add to any healing of any trauma, sure. Whether it's to what helps you to live longer.
Yeah, sure. Is there something in the self-help world that you think isn't as helpful as some people may think it is?
I mean, no, not necessarily. Nothing comes to the top of my brain about that. But, you know, there are a lot of things out there. You just have to, ultimately what I say is you got to trust the person you're working with and their background and what they're telling you. Listen to your body, listen to your intuition. I just think it's important finding the right person to support you, not just any Joe Schmo off the street. But I think anything can help, truly.
If it works for you, because everybody's so different, right?
Yeah. I don't have anything where I've had a bad experience with it. No.
What about Reiki? I've always wondered, am I saying that right, first of all? Okay. What is Reiki?
So Reiki is this healing modality of energy work that came from Asia. And I have a really important moment in my life that was a turning point for me, and Reiki was a part of it. So I believe, and I've seen miracles with Reiki, but Reiki is like, from that culture, they believe that you can get attuned to this magical energy, and there's symbols that you have to, like, I put them in my finger. Like, I know it sounds so crazy to some people, but you just, there's symbols, Reiki's many symbols, and you can use it to heal the sick. You can use it to heal whatever, you know, anxiety, depression. And it's just intending to bring healing to the body through hands, and you do these symbols. So anyone, you can't just go to anybody though. They have to be a Reiki attuned master.
And that's what I was going to ask master. You. How do we, and you are, okay. So we got to look for somebody who is trained.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I have my Reiki master. I've got all three levels of it attuned by two different people.
How do we know, Abby, with these tools that you've given us, meditation, breathing, Reiki, how do we know what is going to be the one that helps us the most? And is it, do we just try it? If someone's thinking, you know, I've never really stepped into this world, do we just, you just try it, I guess, to know?
Yep. I believe that if something comes to you, it's like this offering. Hey, give it a try. If some, like, if you're not looking, going looking for it, and say like I'm sitting at coffee in this coffee shop, and I'm having a conversation with a friend, and they're saying they don't feel well in their body. And then I just start talking about Reiki. I feel like that's an opportunity for that person to be like, hey, I should try that. I feel like if it comes to you, accept it. But you'll also, I always tell people, if you get a full body yes, a warm feeling in your body, you know, mm-hmm. you're in this place of like, this is right path, right way to go. Mm-hmm. I think you just sort of know but if you're a little bit scared too, also I've worked with a lot of skeptics. I love them. I change their mind immediately. I love the skeptics. And now I have a lot of my people that are in my membership, my community, a lot of them started off like scientists and people who don't believe in this necessarily. I actually love that. Mm-hmm. And I'm really relatable because I'm not like, you know, super woo woo. I'm like on the earth, you know?
Yeah, you are.
So,
yeah, you
just
are.
Just a regular mom that has this gift, and I believe in it. So,
yeah, wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
How will we know that we're healing? Will we just feel better, feel happier, feel lighter? How will we know?
Oh, there's some sneaky things that can happen. You know, sometimes it has to get worse before it can get better, but. I've been working with a client for a couple years. She's out in LA. She's somebody who is very in the creative. She's a musician. A lot of you know who she is. I'm not going to say who she is, but she has been working with me for 2.5 years. And she randomly said to me the other day, this is finally paying off.
Oh,
like I feel different. For me, when I know, it's like even just the way I respond to my child, just I don't snap at her as much as maybe I would. Like I can always tell when I'm snappy if I'm snappy, I'm having anxiety about something.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm short, I'm feeling nervous about something. I know myself. So you learn to know your patterning. And sometimes those patterns can take a long time to unravel or tease out. It's like this knot in a necklace and you're just teasing them out one by one. And finally you're like,
It takes time.
And that's why a 2-week diet never works. It's like, I'm going to go on a diet. Why? Because you're going to come back. It's like a lifestyle. A lot of people do these things to like get a quick fix. And it's like healing takes time and you have to be patient. But how you know is in the simplest of interactions with people. I mean, my client is like, it's just the way she's like, I noticed the most when I went into a room, she goes to a lot of parties and she doesn't like them. And she noticed recently, I'm confident in parties and going in rooms with parties now. I want to stay. I have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
I feel in myself. I'm not this shell anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just in the littlest of interactions. But I have to tell people, it's not going to be overnight. It takes time. But you'll know. It just slowly creeps in.
Yeah. I don't know if this is one of them. I notice when I'm in a good place, and it's a roller coaster for me too in my life and my own healing, but if somebody like cuts me off in traffic, or if somebody, you know, if I'm in a good place, I realize that's more. And if they're rude or if they're mean, or that's more to do with what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
than me taking it personally and being upset and reacting, you know? So I'm just like, you know, they must be having a really bad day or be going through something. Like you're less judgmental.
Totally.
If that makes sense.
It makes so much sense because we find this awareness of ourselves and it's like you develop more compassion for yourself and for others.
Mm-hmm. Which we all need.
It's right? All about being more in relationship with self. That's all I'm here to help people do.
If you, and you've helped us all a lot in this podcast, my last question though, if you had to give our listeners maybe one piece of advice to step into this, what would it be?
If you don't have the resources right now, start listening to podcasts. Start adding things to your life. You don't have to think about burning things away or taking things away. It's like add different habits, like just start. There's going to be a hard you're going to have to choose anyway. There's a hard of putting on your gym clothes and going to the gym, or there's a hard of sitting and scrolling on your phone for 2 hours while you would have been at the gym and feeling that just cloud over you and that lethargic energy. So you have to first choose the hard. Mm-hmm. And then I tell people, commit to it for 6 months. I know that seems like a lot, but after 180 days, it is ingrained in you. But you don't have to make these ginormous, huge life changes. Like, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Like, you don't have to do all of this at one time. Choose one thing that you're going to start focusing on. If you have the resources, you can contact me. You can get a therapist. Start somewhere. Like, just start, though. That's really it. Like, no one's coming to save you but yourself. No one's going to come knock on your door and say, I'm saving you today. So you have to say, I'm going to save myself. I'm going to be the hero of my own story. I'm going to take that pen back and rewrite the last chapters of my life.
Yeah. Oh, Abby, thank you for assisting us to start our own journeys. We appreciate you so much. This podcast has been life-changing for me, and I'm sure a lot of people listening. If we want to reach out to you and have your assistance, what's the best way?
You can just go to my website. Abby, ABBEY, D as in David, AW as in Wallace. So abbydaw.com. You can just, my name is very easily rolls off the tongue. And then you can find me on social media, Instagram at abbydaw, but you can just send me a DM. You can send me a contact just on my website. You can browse my website. It just shows what I do. I have a book out. I'm going to be releasing a book this summer. A lot is coming for me. I'm actually really excited. So there's ways to find me and find
you help. Deserve this. You deserve all the good, Abby. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. And now we're going to do our fresh five really quick to get to know you a little better with different subjects. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Number one, coffee or tea?
Decaf coffee.
Yay.
Love and it. Matcha tea. Oh no.
Matcha?
Lately I've been into matcha. Maybe okay. Matcha.
Matcha. Okay, yeah. Great. Would you rather have the ability to read minds, which I feel like you maybe already can do, or run as fast as a car can drive?
I do not want to run as fast as a car can drive. Read minds, I guess. Okay. But that would be scary too, but yeah.
Favorite food?
Sushi.
Do you have a specific roll that you love?
The Imperial roll at Sapa.
Imperial roll. Okay. I'm going to have to try that one. Snakes or spiders? Do you fear either? Do you fear both?
I think I'd rather see a spider. I don't like them at all, both of them.
Okay. Last one. What's making you happy in life right now?
Oh, my daughter, and she's just the light of my life. Being a mom makes me happy, volunteering in her classroom, but also expanding my reach. That's been happening lately, and my business is starting to really have energy about it. Like, the magic is really growing, and so that's making me really happy because I get to serve more people.
You deserve it all, Abby. Thank you so much for this podcast today. We appreciate your knowledge.
I love you guys. I love you, Carrie.
Hey, we love you. And we'll see you on the show, I'm sure, again.
Yes.
Thanks, Abby.
Next year.
And thank you for listening to another episode of Fresh Off the Set. Please rate, review, and subscribe. And we will see you next week.
Congrats, you made it to the end. If you want to continue to freshen up your day, you can watch us on Fresh Living every weekday on CBS Channel 2 in Utah at 1 o'clock. You can also watch us on our YouTube channel, KUTV Fresh Living, and follow us on social media. We will see you next week.